Info John Burton, Patton Cook hanging out here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. You know, I was just thinking, I was texting back and forth with Ryan early this week, Ryan Callahan, GoVols 24/7. Mm-hmm. It's been 4 weeks since we've had him on, right?
Oh, I'm sure he misses us.
Well, yeah, right. But, you know, the Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, we were off. And then last Friday, Snowmageddon.
Yep.
And we couldn't get in here. So, Ryan, it's good to have you back, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Ryan.
I'm just glad you remembered me.
Glad you remembered us. How's everything going, man? Holidays good?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Man, a lot's happened since then.
Yeah, we got a lot.
I couldn't remember what we discussed the last time I was on, so I think we've got a lot to catch up on.
Well, the Music City Bowl, we hadn't talked since then. Have people put that no touchdown call to bed yet, or are they going to live with that forever, UT fans?
Well, the beauty of that is you get to live with it the entire offseason, right? So, I don't think they've quite put that one to bed just yet. I think it's, frankly, it'll be one of those games that we're talking about for a while, just like, well, another Music City Bowl Tennessee went to back in 2010. I think that's just one of those games that will be around in people's minds for a while. But in the grand scheme of things, obviously, that doesn't mean a whole lot. We've seen too many Tennessee teams and other teams, for that matter, over the years who have won bowl games, and it didn't serve as a catapult into the next season. It didn't sort of springboard them to bigger things. And we've seen too many teams that lost bowl games and still had great seasons the next year anyway. So in the grand scheme, does it matter a whole lot? No, but I think everyone obviously gives you something to sort of rally around this offseason. And, you know, who knows? In the end, it might end up being a positive for Tennessee that they sort of get to be mad all offseason and have sort of motivation.
Yeah, and the good news is it was a great game, entertaining game. Like, people were tweeting about it from all over the country, so a lot of eyes on Tennessee. And one thing I think, established this year as far as the Vols go, right, you know, they have a coach with an exciting brand of offense, and they have a quarterback, a good trigger man. So, you know, from that standpoint, the future looks bright.
Yeah, and I think everyone saw, you know, it was obviously there were some things that fans are going to be stewing about in the offseason, not just the call, but I think it was the first time this season that people felt like Tennessee really lost a game they should have won. You know, there were a couple that got away from them that were opportunities, like Ole Miss and Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, they pretty much won the games they were supposed to win this year and lost the games they were expected to lose. So this was one that fans, I think, will look back at as a missed opportunity. And it was maybe a reminder of sort of just where this program really is. You know, Josh Heupel did such a good job of overachieving in some ways this year. And I think people almost forgot this roster is still pretty limited in a lot of ways. And this game sort of offered some reminders of that, because Purdue really picked apart Tennessee's secondary. Tennessee didn't get any pass rush really at all. The offense went pretty dormant for 2.5 quarters before it finally woke up again down the stretch in the fourth quarter to force overtime. So it was sort of a reminder, I think, to fans that, hey, Josh Heupel's kind of worked some miracles with this team so far, but there's some things you can't overcome. But hey, like you said, for at least another afternoon, people did have a lot of fun. I had a lot of people that went to the game that told me that was one of the better environments they've seen mm-hmm. in person. Obviously, a ton of Tennessee fans there, so the fun day for people. But obviously on the Tennessee side, I think it was just sort of a reminder that, hey, this rebuild Josh Heupel took over, it's still very much in effect, and they've still got a long ways to go despite some of the nice wins they had this year.
Well, I would say to Vols fans, don't give up 650 yards of offense or whatever it was, 660. But is that going to be the norm? Because with Heupel's offense, there's going to be maybe each offense has 20 more possessions a game, you know, just because it's high. That's the way you want to play. But we also know in this league, you better play defense. So is that the emphasis?
I mean, I think obviously for Tennessee going forward, they've still got to get better on both sides of the ball. I think there were some things in that game that you could point to and say they've got to still get better on offense despite all the yards they picked up. You know, I thought they had a good game running the ball, but you know, they still have plenty of room for improvement on the offensive line at running back. They need better depth at receiver. You know, that offense can improve quite a bit. But yeah, obviously people are going to come away talking about the defense, and that's I don't think the expectation should be that, hey, this is just what Josh Heupel teams are going to be. You know, I think that's one, that's the side of the ball where Tennessee needs the most work. Where we know they weren't able to get a pass rush in that game very, very consistently. They weren't really able to do much in the secondary without Alante Taylor had a really rough day in defending the pass against a team that knew how to throw it around and did it pretty effectively despite throwing three interceptions. So I think it's a good reminder that this team, you know, again, as Tennessee looks to the transfer portal now and looks forward, a lot of Tennessee fans are still thinking back on that game and saying, hey, where's the defensive help? They've had a couple offensive players so far. They know Tennessee needs a lot more help to patch up that defense. But I think the expectation, sure, some fans are kind of convinced that Tennessee's going to be in a lot of shootouts under Josh Heupel, but they know it can't be quite like that. They've got to have more difference makers on that side of the ball in general, and that starts with getting a pass rush, and then also the secondary's got to continue to improve, for Tennessee's going to be in a lot more games like that.
Ryan Callahan, 24/7 on Twitter, GoVols 24/7 as well. Now, classes don't start for the spring semester until January 24th, but there's a new winterum or whatever they're calling it, and so it's sort of weird that it looks like the spring semester starting later, but there are actually classes going on right now. Two things. One, I think two or three players have entered the portal. I don't think anything significant in coming out what they can get as well. And we've discussed this ad nauseum with coaches and everything. You just got to pay attention to the portal. But recruiting, what they did and who they've gotten coming in from December, and then the National Signing Day, the original one that's coming up in February, what's going to happen there? What more can they do?
Well, remember with the transfer portal that not everything will play out this month. Obviously, there have been a lot of players in the portal already, but the thing to keep in mind is that played out last year for Tennessee through the spring and even the summer before they landed everybody that they were able to land going into the season. Actually, only two of Tennessee's 10 additions last year from the transfer portal were guys who enrolled for the spring semester. The other eight were guys who came in after the spring semester. So Tennessee's been selective so far. They're dealing with, you know, a little bit of a numbers crunch maybe, but they've gone after some guys that they had room for, they just missed out on. You know, guys like Jared Verse, an edge rusher who's transferring to Florida State. He's from Albany, an FCS school, and had a great year last year. Tennessee went after him for weeks and just missed out on in a head-to-head battle with Florida State. And then, you know, also missed out on a safety, Brandon Joseph, from Northwestern, who is transferring to Notre Dame. So they've gone after some guys in some cases, were involved with a few running backs, for instance. So it's not like they've just tried, but yeah, a couple additions so far. Isaiah Nair at wide receiver, who's actually been at Ole Miss the past couple days. He's visiting Tennessee this weekend, but that one's not over because he's not signed yet. And then obviously last month added Gerald Mincy, a Florida offensive lineman. So they've got a couple pieces, but they still need to add obviously a lot, and I think several needs they could address. What will they get by February? Not necessarily a lot in the transfer portal, but still a couple guys out there who could enroll this month before classes start, as you said, on the 24th. And then the 2022 class, I think still a few guys out there on defense, a couple defensive linemen and a safety, Miguel Mitchell. One of those defensive linemen, Ahmad Moten, is visiting this weekend. So still one or two pieces out there that could be added to the 2022 class by next month. And then I think the rest is kind of on the transfer portal, and it just comes down to who's out there that they can get in time for the spring semester. And then they'll probably have to save the rest for the spring and kind of continue to keep an eye on the portal as things play out throughout the spring practice and all that.
Ryan, you okay over there? Yeah,
I got attacked by my phone.
Ryan, any word on the NCAA or anything going on with that, or what they might rule as far as the football program goes?
Really nothing new to report there. I think the wait is probably going to be quite a bit longer and before there's any sort of final resolution to this. Now, what is the good part about this, you know, is that Tennessee, knowing that would probably be the case, that so many of these cases have stretched on for years, they wanted to get the self-imposing part of that sort of behind them. So they obviously got out in front of that this fall and announced that there would not be a bowl ban self-imposed. And they're in the process, at least, of working on some self-imposed penalties that likely will include some scholarship limitations. I don't know that it's going to be anything really, really significant, but it is, I think, going to limit them in some ways this year, at least with the total number they end up being able to take in the 2022 class. There's at least some talk that that's going to, you know, maybe keep them from taking what would have been their full allotment this year of 32 players, because there was a rule change this fall that allows you to replace essentially up to 7 players you lose in the transfer portal as they continue to sort of deal with how the transfer portal fits into modern recruiting without affecting high school players, trying not to limit the opportunities for high school players. So they should be able to take up to 32 this year. They probably won't be able to take up to that full allotment as things play out, but it's still sort of a fluid situation. So they're trying to get the self-imposing part of that behind them so that really it's sort of out of sight, out of mind for most people. And that's how I think it kind of is at some of these schools while the cases play out. You know, Baylor, people almost forgot that was still going on after a while, and then finally a ruling comes down a few years later. So each situation is different, but I think the expectation is there might not be a final ruling on this anytime soon from the NCAA, and so Tennessee's just got to learn to live with it, and you do that by getting your self-imposing part sort of behind you and trying to move on.
Ryan, the Vols tomorrow, noon Central Time, ESPN at Rupp Arena, Kentucky. And this will what a start to the season. At Alabama, at LSU, and now at Kentucky. Auburn looks like to be where it's going to be, LSU. This is a pretty – they need to steal one on the road somewhere along through here because they don't want to fall too far behind this early. I know we still got a lot to play. I understand that. Just, 3 weeks into the season. But right now they're staring at their third loss if they don't get it done on the road.
Yeah, they're in a tough stretch right now, obviously. And they've had some games where their offense has just not gotten it together. And they need a game like this. Now, the good news for them, obviously, is under Rick Barnes, they've played pretty well against Kentucky. They've sort of had John Calipari's number up there, and they've had some nice wins at Rupp Arena. But and this is a pretty amazing stat. I believe I'm citing this right, but if Tennessee wins tomorrow, John Fulkerson would become the first player in Tennessee history, I believe, to be part of 4 wins at Rupp Arena, because obviously he's been around longer than most players get a chance to be, but that's still a pretty amazing stat. So, they've had some success there, but just not consistent enough this year for fans to feel very confident, I think, going into this game, because you've seen this team struggle offensively, and they could use a win like this to maybe sort of springboard them forward into better things. But I think it's kind of just an inconsistent team right now. We'll see how they respond, but they certainly know that they're not playing or haven't been playing their best, despite that win Tuesday night against South Carolina. They've still got some things to work out, so we'll see if they can answer with this. But you know, LSU waiting next weekend, coming back to Knoxville for a rematch. They've still got some tough games ahead, and this team's got a long way to go to sort of be playing the way they want to be playing in March. But the good news is plenty of time for that. And this team, you don't want to be peaking in January, so it's okay, but like you said, you don't want to fall behind too far with how they've gone or how they've started off in SEC play.
You mentioned John Fulkerson. Coach Barnes kind of called him out last week. How's he responded so far, you think?
You know, talking to people about that, I think he's fine. I don't think there's a lot of concern about that. It's gotten more attention probably outside the locker room than it has inside. I think, you know, talking to some people about why Rick Barnes might have done that, I think there's some thought that he was sort of maybe trying to send a message to the entire team. And so he started with the guy that he knew he could do that with, a guy that's been around, a leader. And so in sending a message specifically to John Fulkerson, it might have been sort of a veiled message to the entire team. And Fulkerson just is the one who sort of publicly takes the brunt of it. But the rest of the team knows that they're on notice, too. So maybe it was something like that, where Rick Barnes went after the guy that he felt the best about doing that with. It sounds like the team has responded well, and there's not been really any concern about that and how he would deal with that, you know, privately or anything like that. So I think he'll be fine, but the key is, does it work? You know, does John Fulkerson do anything differently? And obviously he's got to play better, or this team's probably not going to go very far. They need him to be one of their best players, and recently he's obviously not been. So Rick Barnes gets some flack for that sometimes. He's very blunt publicly with his players. But when you see him on and off the court with his guys, aside from press conferences, he kind of loves up on them after practice, and they have good relationships. So I think they'll be able to withstand that just fine. And I think John Fulkerson, the expectation is that he will bounce back. It's just a matter of when do we start seeing better results from him on the court.
Ryan Callahan, 24/7 on Twitter, GoVols 24/7. Ryan, good talking to you again. And next Friday, unless we have locusts and lizards falling from the sky, we'll call you, okay?
That sounds good.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, see you, man. Ryan Callahan.